1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter wants the readers of his epistle to know. He's reminding them. And in fact, I really pray that that would be one of the effects of this series, is that we would really, really, really know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I want us to know that in our time together. So what is redemption? We're going to begin by answering that question. Our last question of the night will be, why study redemption? I like to keep the questions real simple if we can, because sometimes the answers can be the most important. What is it and why study it? What's the benefit? So we begin with, what is it? Simply, redemption means a purchase of deliverance. It means to buy something back. It does not have to have a spiritual meaning. It can have a very practical monetary meaning. Redemption means to buy something back. If you were to be in need of money, have to sell something that you love, maybe it's an old watch, maybe it's a collectible item, or worse, maybe it got stolen, but later on down the road, you were to happen upon it at a pawn shop, and you saw that, and if you bought it back, you redeemed it. That's what redemption means. Now, for us as believers, and for us as Christians, what is Christian redemption? Essentially, it's the same thing. It's someone else, Jesus, doing what we cannot do, purchasing us out of our slavery. And so the main result of us being redeemed is that we have been free from slavery. We've been set free. So we're going to use terms like that a lot through our series. The whole idea of being purchased back, of being delivered, of being set free, of the chains being unshackled, because that's what redemption means. It's also important for us to note that the word used in the New Testament, the Greek word, the original word that the writers use for redemption, is simply a word that comes from the word that means ransom. So another definition, another similar word to redemption would be ransom. In fact, we love Jesus' own words in Mark 10:45. When he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That word ransom, that's where the word redemption comes from. God sent his only Son to redeem, through the work of the cross, you and I. To redeem those that would believe in him. I said that our questions really tonight are going to be, what is redemption? Why are we studying it? Perhaps some questions that would hit home the most are you redeemed? We need to be able to ask ourselves that question tonight and throughout the series. First and foremost, am I redeemed? Am I set free? Second of all, do I know that I'm redeemed? Do I know it? And third of all, do I know just how free I really am? Those are some good questions for us. Am I redeemed? Because I'm going to be talking to you a lot. I understand that most of us in this room would say that, yes, I'm saved. I received Christ as Savior. And if you have, then you have been redeemed. You have been purchased by God out of sin. You've been freed from sin, from the devil, from this world, from yourself. You've been redeemed. Most of us, hopefully all of us, have, but we never want to take that for granted. And perhaps you find yourself in a place tonight where you know or you have an idea that maybe I'm not redeemed. And what I want you to do is to let these things soak in that we talk about. Let them soak in. Listen to what is being taught about redemption and just ask yourself the question, is this redemption that's being talked about, is this exactly what I need? Is this the very thing that I've been looking for? The very thing that I've been longing for? I haven't been able to put a finger on it, haven't been able to define it. Certainly didn't know there was a word for it. But now that I hear about this complete and full and absolute redemption in Jesus, I know that that's exactly what I need. So just some, hopefully some encouragement as far as our mindset goes as we just consider these things. But again, back to our definition. To redeem something is to buy something back. That's the Bible dictionary definition, but you know what? It's also our English dictionary definition. That's what redemption means. It means to purchase something, to buy it back. It, as I said, a purchase of deliverance. One of the reasons that I emphasize this definition so much is because I see some things, in fact, I've noticed them for several years in our culture that really intrigue me. There are some things that really fascinate me that I see in our culture, especially when I consider the arts. And what that thing is that we as a culture really are enthralled with the idea of redemption. In our movies, in our music, our TV shows, the books we read, even art, paintings, pictures. It's not uncommon to hear somebody when they say, hey, what is your work of art about? And they would say, to me, it's about redemption. Have you guys heard that? I like nodding heads when it either a yes or a no. I love it. It really helps me to know that you guys are here with me. I want you to be here with me listening. Have you heard it, maybe a review of a book or a movie and they say, it's about redemption? Yeah, we hear it a lot. Just some quick, easy examples. Movies, Shawshank Redemption, even in the title, right? Or have any of you guys watched the TV show 24 with Jack Bauer, right? Remember a year or two ago, the whole season was called 24 Redemption, right? You have music, titles. You could look up redemption lyrics and you could see all kinds of different songs. The one I think of is Bob Marley's Redemption song written decades ago, but still a fun song, still very popular. Redemption, but those are obvious cases, but even more importantly, not just in the titles, we find it in the themes of the things that we watch and we read, because redemption is important to our culture. It just is. The question, though, that I ask when I see this come up in movies and so on, the question that I often ask is, are we talking about the same thing, though? When I say redemption, when you say redemption, when a movie speaks about redemption, when somebody, anybody you're talking to uses that word redeem or redemption, are we talking about the same thing? You see, there are several parallels of biblical redemption and redemption as we find it in our culture today and in secular society. But there are also several differences. I think it's important for us to know those differences. I think of that, you guys have seen the movie Princess Bride, right? Have you seen that movie? And there's a guy, I think it's the Sicilian, that keeps on saying, it's inconceivable. But the thing keeps happening. And so finally, the other guy says, I do not think that word means what you think it means. I wonder that sometimes when I hear the word redemption or when I see it somewhere, when somebody talks about, I don't think that word means exactly what you think it means. So we have to be careful to, I think tonight I want to be able to define not only what redemption means in the Bible, but what it means in our culture so that we can detect the differences. Because one of the things that creeps in as a result of redemption meaning something else, I've noticed this also, is the whole idea that we can redeem ourselves. I see that a lot as it's mentioned in fact, I watched a movie the other day. Jess and I were watching a movie, and the main character, it happened to be Tom Cruise, and he looked at the other guy who had gotten himself in some trouble, and he told the guy, "You still have time to redeem yourself." In that context, it made sense. But we need to be careful, don't we? Because we can't redeem ourselves spiritually. So we need to know what we're talking about, if we're really talking apples and apples, or if we're talking something else. Because if we take what we learn from our movies and what we learn from people we talk to and songs and so on, and we take that to our theology and we take that to our understanding of God, then that's where we can get in trouble, right? You see, I'm not saying that there's something evil about the way that culture views redemption. There are actually a lot of definitions of redemption, a lot of ways to look at it. I'm not saying the culture is evil in the way they look at it. What I'm saying is we've got to be real careful that we don't take it to the way that we view God and His redemption, because what we're going to do is if we take our cultural understanding of redemption and put it up to God's, it's going to be way smaller and way more human than God's is. And an immediate result of our idea of redemption being too small is that we're going to begin to think that we can redeem ourselves. We're going to begin to think that we can do it. And so what happens is we think that, oh, if I make amends for a wrong that I've done, then that's redemption. If I've made up for something bad, then that's redemption. If I've gotten payback for something that somebody did to me, that's redemption. That's not biblical redemption. That's smaller than biblical redemption. And it's also selfish, because immediately we think to ourselves, oh, I can do it. I can redeem myself. And that's a risk that we don't want to run. So, now that we've kind of said, okay, what is the definition of redemption, to purchase something back? We've talked a little bit about, okay, what does the culture talk about redemption? Yes, all the time. So what is their definition of redemption? To me, as I consider it, it really seems to be something along the lines of making amends for a wrong done. A lot of times you'll see someone that in a movie, or you'll read a book, and they've lived a really horrible life, but at the end of their life, they've done something, a good deed, they've helped somebody, and all of a sudden, we call that redemption. You know what? It kind of is redemption, but it's not the redemption we need to get into heaven. It's not the redemption that Christ paid for on the cross, because that very implicitly is a redemption that we just can never do on our own. Not only that, but it's freeing in a way that no human redemption ever could. So much greater. It's something we cannot do, but it's something that when God does, we are freed in a way that we really need to live in and grow in just how free we are. So the dictionary definition, cultural definition. Now I want to talk about a little bit more about the simple biblical definition, and specifically how we see it in the Old Testament. Because redemption for an Old Testament Israelite, and the Israelites, of course, were God's chosen people, He had given them their law, and actually part of their law was this idea of redemption. And so for an Old Testament era Israelite, to them, redemption was a way of life. It more often than not probably was more practical and more monetary and more legal than it was spiritual. We think of redemption and we think spiritual. Praise God. Because we have been spiritually redeemed. That's the important part of it. But let's find out where this idea comes from and what it is on a practical level. I think if we do, I think it'll make a lot more sense to us spiritually. And basically, it worked like this. And you can read more about it in Leviticus 25. And it reads like law, because it is. And it reads dry, because that's exactly what it was. It was a straightforward law that God had given to their people. And in Leviticus 25, we find out about what it means to be a redeemer, or what it means to redeem. In that culture, if you got into debt, and there was debt then, just like there is now, but what there wasn't then is credit cards that you could continue to run up, nor was there bankruptcy. And so if you got into debt in that culture, you really only had two choices. You could sell yourself as a slave, and what that would mean is you would sell yourself to another Israelite for a certain amount of years, and you would work for them, and all of that money would go towards paying your debt. It was not a good place to be in, because you didn't have extra income. You couldn't pay for your family. You couldn't provide for them. You essentially were just paying off your debt. The other option would be to sell your land. Now, that again was something you really didn't want to have to do. It's an agrarian society. You live off your land. You eat off your land. In fact, that land and that property was passed down from generation to generation, so it really is your family's land. But if you were in debt, you had a choice. You could sell yourself to pay off that debt for a while until the debt was paid, or you could sell your land to get the proceeds from that. Now, what a redeemer was somebody, and they actually had to be a family member, but we'll talk about this later on. And all of this, by the way, is very important for the book of Ruth. But what a redeemer would do is would come in and say, I will pay that debt. That's essentially what a redeemer does. The redeemer would come in and say, you have sold yourself into slavery, but the redeemer had the right to be able to go in there and buy that relative out of slavery and essentially redeem them. And it's different in our day and age because, for example, let's say we had to sell our house for financial reasons. Our relative doesn't have the right to then go 10 years down the road and go, I'm going to buy it back because I'm the relative. They would say, well, it's not for sale. Or they would say, well, here's the price, but it's not the same price, right? But in that society, all the redeemer had to do, and they had the right. The Lord set it up this way because it was just, and it was also merciful, right? It was a way for people to be able to get back out of their bondage and get back out of their debt. But a redeemer would simply come in and really save the day and say, I'll pay off the debt so that the person can be redeemed out of slavery, so that the person can get their land and their farm back. So hopefully, I'm hoping that we have a pretty decent idea at this point of what redemption is. Feel a little bit better about it? You're wrapping your head around it? That's exactly what God has done for us, right? God has come in at a place where we're in bondage. What are we in bondage to before Christ saves us? Generally. Sin. What else? Self. Bondage to self, the world, to the devil. And Jesus essentially comes in and says, I made you in my image. You belong to me originally. And because of sin, you don't belong to me right now. But by the blood shed, that's the price paid. There's always a price involved in redemption. I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to purchase you out of that slavery. That essentially is the redemption that you and I have. Tonight we can kind of look at it this way, because redemption oftentimes is a synonym for a parallel word to salvation. We sometimes use it interchangeably. Well, what I want to kind of make clear to you is that your personal redemption is actually just a facet of your salvation. In other words, when you were saved, a lot of things happened. You might not have known it, That's the beautiful thing about it. We can spend the rest of our lives getting to know more about it. But when we are saved, a whole lot happens. We are forgiven, right? We are regenerated. We have a new birth. And we are set free. Well, specifically, and other things too. There's a lot involved in our salvation. But as we hear those words, salvation and redemption, just think redemption specifically is talking about what Jesus did in setting me free. That's what redemption is talking about. And now I'm going to ask a question that hopefully is very obvious. Hopefully you already have answers for this, but we need to come up with some more, because to drag ourselves here every Wednesday night, we need to be able to answer really well. Why? Why study it? Why study it? What's the benefit? What am I going to gain from talking about being set free? I am set free. Why do I have to talk about it? Why do I have to study it? In fact, if you consider it, it actually seems foolish. If you consider, for example, an African slave set free towards the end of the Civil War, emancipated, does that slave need a class on what it means to be free? No. Why doesn't he need a class? Because he could teach a class. But he doesn't want to because he's free. Because that slave knew very well what he was in bondage to, what that bondage felt like, how much he could taste freedom before he ever got it, and what that freedom was like after he got it. It would be absurd to think that you could do someone in that situation any benefit by telling them what freedom was. Their life after being freed by no means was perfect, but freedom they knew. Maybe that picture in and of itself answers some of those questions for us. Because ours is not a physical bondage. Ours is a spiritual bondage that we've been freed from. And oftentimes, we're really not that clear on what we have been freed from. And we're really not that clear on what we've been freed for. Those things alone are pretty essential and worth finding out, aren't they? Sometimes we don't know exactly what our freedom has been from. Or maybe we put so much emphasis on maybe a certain addiction. Praise God, he has freed you from that. Maybe you put so much emphasis on a certain way you used to look at life or a certain place you used to be in. Praise God, he has delivered us from these things. But guys, the most important thing is our spiritual redemption. And sometimes we don't really know how dark and how huge our sin that we've been delivered from really was. We don't really know how much in bondage we were to the devil. And not only that, but we're not really sure what this freedom is all about. In fact, sometimes we're so confused about what the freedom is about, we're dying to find out what we can now enslave ourselves to. Okay, give me some rules. Give me some rules to follow. What does a Christian do? What do they not do? Okay, good. Oh, bondage again. Phew. That's what I'm used to. That's what I want. Right? We're so used to it that when we're free, sometimes we don't even know what we're free from. And what we're free for, and how important is it for us to know? How important for us to know what our redemption really means? There is a certain evil which exists in the world today that troubles me deeply. If you're familiar with it, you're troubled by it also. It's a modern-day type of slavery. Most commonly, it goes by the term human trafficking. And much of those, many of those, most of those being trafficked, are sex slaves. It's very common. In fact, it is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world. Still has not overtaken drugs, but what the perpetrators, what those running this evil, what they realize is that you can only sell drugs once. You can only sell arms once. You can sell people over and over again. And they're making money like crazy. And it's pervasive. You guys familiar with how pervasive it is? I read it, several different groups of statistics, something like 2.5 million people currently caught up in human trafficking. Hundreds of thousands of people yearly crossing borders illegally because they move them around like they move drugs around. It's really sad. It's really scary. The majority of the victims are women and children. Jess and I read a book a while back about a guy that what he actually does is he goes to these different areas of the world where it's especially pervasive, and he'll go in and free these girls from the brothels, from the clubs, and he'll actually free them out of them. And as I was considering, okay, what can we learn? What can really hit home for us as far as what redemption means and why we need to learn about our own spiritual redemption and so on, I thought about some of these girls, and I thought about some of the things that this guy had written the book, and he's the guy that he goes in and he'll free some of them. He grieves constantly because he can never free near as many as he would like to. But everyone makes a difference. But he's not making a dent, as it were. But another thing that he grieves about is the fact that even after he frees them, some of these young girls were so young when they were sold into this slavery that they don't know anything else. They have no idea that somebody could actually love them. They've never seen love in a real way. They have no idea what freedom means. They've never been free. And what's interesting is that even after this guy will get them out of there and they'll get them into a safe house, and there's people that can counsel these girls and try to help them, but a lot of them never really get free. I think you guys understand that. The ramifications of what has happened to them take, if anything, a whole lifetime to heal from. And in fact, as he works with them, they're free, but now they have to be protected more than ever because people are looking for them. And it takes so much training and so much teaching and so many years to help these girls work through what they've been through, essentially to help them understand what their redemption means. I think spiritually, we find ourselves in a very similar place. Because guys, whether we know it, whether we really realize it or not, we don't know what it's like to be free. We were born, as the Bible tells us, in sin. We were born into sin. We have been selfish our whole lives. We're so used to our own pride. We're so used to our own thoughts and our own attitudes. We have no idea that it's still part of that slavery that Jesus has freed us from. And it takes a long time to realize it. When the Lord sets us free, we could be asked that question, do you feel free? Well, think about asking those girls that question. Do you feel free? Oftentimes, no. Sometimes we don't feel free. So again, it's that much more important, isn't it? we know that we are. That we understand just how free we are, what that freedom means. That we be very careful. You see, the worst thing that these girls could do that could jeopardize their freedom is to get closer back to their slavery. Some of them end up back in the same places. They don't know a different life. You know what? Some of us end up back in the same places. So we just don't know anything different. The thing that can most adversely affect our own freedom is that we just start going back to some of those things that enslaved us. Because maybe we don't even know any better. So within these things, hopefully we have a very good reason for us to understand our redemption. Because it's vital for us to understand what God has done for us. It's vital for us to understand what He wants to continue to do, to grow in that freedom. It takes a long time to be restored and healed from slavery. Guys, spiritually, we're still being restored. We're still being healed. And the worst thing we can do is live somewhere on the fence of our old slavery and our new freedom. Because that's not freedom. I encourage you to just consider and to just let these things sink in and to ask yourself, do I really know how free I am? Do I really know? And to use both this series of studies and use your own time with the Lord to let Him speak to you. Let Him show you how great that redemption is that He purchased. Let Him show you how free His freedom is. How liberating His liberty really is. I'm excited for next week. Next week we are going to start the book of Ruth. I encourage you to read it. I'm sure a few of you read it before tonight, which is great. Read it again. If you read it out loud, it'll probably take you 15, 20 minutes to read the whole thing. It's 4 chapters. I like that. It's going to give us a chance to kind of get a good handle on it by the time we're done. So read it out loud to somebody you're with. Tell them you have to for homework. And that way they can hear the story too. I'll invite Joe back up. And I'll read to you again, Ephesians 1:7. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Let's pray. Lord, it is really, really good to belong to You. It is really good to grow in not only understanding, though that is essential, but to grow in living in Your redemptive work. God, it was so important to You that we be redeemed that You sent Your only Son. Lord, as we continue to take in and just really as our minds and our hearts expand as we take in what Your redemption is, we pray that that alone would be fuel to live in that redemption. To see that there are things both worldly and religious that bind us. And Lord, we ask that You would continue to set us free and continue to teach us to live in Your liberty. That we should sin more? God forbid. How could we, Lord, that have been set free from sin and death, live any longer therein? But Lord, let us grow to learn that to be Your slave is the greatest freedom of all. Lord, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters that have come out this evening, and I just want to pray that you bless them and teach them. Bless our fellowship as we close, and God, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.